What did you come to church to see? If you came to church to hear the coolest songs, you won't hear it here. If you came to church to just only sing hymns, you won't find it here. If you came to church just to find somebody cool to be with, you'll find that here. But the most important thing, the most important one that all of us have gathered here to see, to hear, and to respond to is Jesus. Amen. Church, He's the one. If we didn't gather to see Jesus, we might as well quit coming. You can go to the Elks Club and do that. You can go to whatever club, do that. But here, we've come to see Jesus. We've come to hear Jesus. We've come to respond to Him. I don't care if you follow an apostle and prophet. I believe they're valid for today. But if they give you any other gospel other than Jesus, don't follow them. They're not worth, my wife says, the powder to blow them up. If they don't give you Jesus as the answer and the only answer, they're not worth the powder to blow them up. If they want to take you to a deeper truth, let's leave behind this gospel shepherd sheep stuff. Be careful. It's all about Jesus. The only redeemer there is Jesus. They came to see a guy who dresses in a suit and tie. Look around, maybe somebody's got it. But you got the wrong guy if you think it's the pastor. But I'll do everything I can. I'll do everything I can within my breath every day of my life to help you see and hear Jesus. Everything I can. And when I make a mistake, I pray you'll forgive me. But what I want and what I pray to God you're here for is we want Jesus. And if God needs to continue to confront and change and grow, which guess what? None of us are there yet. He's going to keep doing it.
That's right.
Then we're going to give Him the room to do it because it's not over till we're just like Jesus.
Amen.
How many in this room want to say quit? I'm done now. Don't want to grow anymore. Come on, let's see the hands. Turn to each other and say, so you better keep growing. Now you can all look at me as your pastor. You know, look, every eye up here. Say, Pastor, you better keep growing. You're going to say it. It's okay. I believe it. A lot of things want you, church. A lot of things want you in this hour. Corporations, profits, non-profits, entertainment, sports, people. A lot of things want you. A lot of entertainment, a lot of distractions, and it's not all bad, that's not what I'm saying, but a lot of people want the time you have, and they want the resources you have, they want the energy you have, they're being tugged, we're all being tugged in every single direction. Thank God your son and grandson went to the Dobson Conference, and together, what a neat thrill that is. You know, I talked to my son this last week, and he's just like millions of other families. He's with these two kids over here, and they're doing their activity, one over here, another activity, and the other son is over here doing another activity with mom, and then they get back together at 8:30, they do the homework until 9, and then he eats a piece of chicken, finally gets to take off his suit, because he's my kid, and he can't live in a suit 24 hours a day. Anyway, he gets to take off his suit, and then fall into bed. And there's today's modern life. Computers, tablets, watches want to feed you all their data. Even your watch. Keep you online, tuned in. Technology is developed at lightning speed. Because what you buy today, you ever walk out of the store and feel like, I bet there's something new that came in since I arrived. We spent a couple of last weeks on being treasure seekers. people throw themselves into the hunt. Remember, we talked about there are probably 3 million sunken vessels around the world. Probably 3,000 of them have gold, bullion, and coins and jewelry still on those vessels, and very few have actually been discovered. And people throw their whole life into it. What have you thrown your whole life into? Who have you thrown your whole life into? Does he own you? Heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus. He loves you. Now turn to each other and say, I just want to remind you, Jesus loves you. Let's go to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians in your New Testament. Colossians, 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 New Testament. The book of Colossians. One of the prison epistles that Paul wrote, probably 60 to 61 AD, somewhere in that time frame. The man sat in a jail cell in Rome. I've been to that jail cell. Pretty cramped, pretty cold, pretty dark, pretty damp. And he wrote the words that have strengthened the whole body of Christ for generations. Thank God. The Lord locked him up, allowed him to be locked up, so we could have letters of life. Now, the book of Colossians, this is during his first imprisonment in Rome, and Paul penned this letter to the Colossian church after he had received a report that Colossians were struggling with heresy about who Jesus is. The message this morning is called, Hold Tight to Jesus. Say that with me, would you? Hold tight to Jesus. The report comes in from Epaphras. Likely, Epaphras was the leader of the Church of Colossae, and it was a convert of Paul's from his more than 2-year ministry in Ephesus. Epaphras, if you recall your history and have read it before, comes from Ephesus and from Colossae in part to find Paul in Rome and then to serve him and stay with him part of that time during his imprisonment. And he also confides in Paul, who's an apostle, and he's wanting these people to be strong in Jesus. And he says, he tells him about the danger facing the Christians and the false teachers. What's streaming through the book of Colossians is there is a set of false teacher running around wanting you to add works to salvation, wanting you to believe in other things, wanting you to go and find it's Jesus plus something else in order to have redemption. False teaching. What you believe determines how you live. Say that with me. What you believe determines how you live. Now, certainly there are good works we add as an expression of being saved. We cooperate with the Lord. We walk with Him. But we are saved. Get it deep in your soul. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Come on. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is not our works that get us saved. It's what He did, His work, that gets us saved. We grow, we cooperate, we do all of these things, but none of that to replace. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus. Come on, say it with me. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus. Just Jesus. So Epaphras tells him about false teachers who come in to take advantage of the church that's growing or trying to grow. They're under attack. What are they hearing? These false teachers come in and tear down the deity of Jesus. He's not God. There are a lot of people who will walk around as good teachers. See if you hear anything streaming from today's generations. Jesus is a good teacher. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Jesus, but He's not God. He's not the Son of God. They were teaching that He wasn't God. By the way, Paul had probably never been to this church himself. If you write it here, you'll read in the verse where Paul writes, "You haven't seen my face." Epaphras, yeah, was probably the one who planted and started this church. And Paul is writing as a shepherd and as apostolic father to help strengthen them in their walk with Jesus. The false teachers were arguing over Jesus being the creator and Jesus being the redeemer. And Paul is saying, those things are non-negotiable. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. So Paul writes to bring wisdom to bear on this difficult situation. And it's critical to him that the church of Jesus Christ know who they believe in. It's critical that Grace Christian Center knows who you believe in. And you believe, if you have any faith at all, in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, going to the cross, taking your sins upon Himself, shedding His blood so that you and I can be washed clean from sin. He died, He was buried, and in the third day He rose again from the dead, and thank God He's alive and He's praying for His people now. And it's a true story. You go through history, they can't deny it. Josephus and other historians write about the empty tomb. They cannot deny the reality of what Jesus did, the only one who died and came back as a resurrected Son of God to give us redemption. Thank God. Thank God. Jesus, in our society and around the world, 50 years ago, Christianity was on an equal footing in the marketplace. 100 years ago, there were revivals breaking out all across our nation. 200 years ago, about every 100 years, it seems like, and then every 50, 60 years, different generations had revivals. You know, I've been reading and having the best time reading about revivals in the 1800s after the Revolutionary War and after the events that came in the Cane Ridge Revival. You ought to read up and go Google the Cane Ridge Revival, and camp meetings broke out across the Kentucky area, and the Kentuckians at that time were famous for cigars and tobacco and horse racing, Kentucky Derby horse racing and all of these other things. But they weren't famous for Jesus. The country had turned against, and God began to move through people who were praying. I said, God began to move through people who were praying for Him to pour out His Spirit. Are you praying, church? Amen. Oh God, move in a fresh way. But He's not on equal footing in the marketplace anymore. We're on a post-Christian trip in our nation. Barely given lip service. Or if He is given lip service, it's usually a swear word. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Tell me the story of Jesus. I love Him, don't you?
Yes.
Who is Jesus? What's the big idea? In this book, the Apostle Paul describes Jesus with some of the most magnificent language in the New Testament. The book of Colossians, if you talk to Pastor Sherry, she will bleed the book of Colossians if you scratch her. She loves the book of Colossians. It is an absolutely fantastic book, full of truth, full of glorious communication about who Jesus is. Colossians focuses on Christ's preeminence. The fact that He is the head, that He's the one we look at. And then it focuses on the fact He's sufficient for all things. In this room, how many need healing in your life? Come on. You need healing? You need forgiveness? You need mercy? You need joy? You need understanding? You need peace? You need His presence? Jesus is the answer for every single one of those issues. You need Him in your family? Me too. So we keep praying to who? Jesus. Christ is the center of the universe in the book of Colossians. Not only as the active creator, but also He comes to be a part of His creation. Aren't you glad that our God just didn't sit in heaven and say, come on guys, go work it out. The deists believe that. Aren't you glad that's not what God did? God said, okay, you can't work it out, I'm coming. And came as a man. And walked this earth just like you and I do. Tempted in all points, the Bible says, like we are, yet without sin. He's the visible image of the invisible God. And the fullness, the Bible says, of the Godhead bodily dwells in our Lord. God is present. 100% God, 100% man. What a glorious mystery. What a great Redeemer our Lord is. Jesus is therefore head over the church. We're not just raising up some movement to man. We're not just raising up something where you could get a following. They had all sorts of teachers like that in the New Testament. And they died and they went into their caves or they went into their tombs and their people died along with them or they were taken by the edge of the sword and there's no life after death and that kind of thing. But in Jesus there is. If you died today and you've surrendered your life to the Lord, you know exactly where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, come on up. Because Jesus wants you to know. Jesus wants you to know if you died, where you would spend eternity. He's reconciled, the Bible says, all things to himself through his death on the cross. Making believers alive to God, setting them on the path to right living. And guys, why am I going over this? You can say, gosh, this is basic. You know what? What you believe determines how you live. And if you have right thinking and right believing about the Bible and right thinking about Jesus and you've received Him and surrendered to Him, that is the antidote and the answer to every heresy that comes down the line, no matter how it looks. Whether it's got a ponytail or a shaggy beard or is bald, it doesn't matter. Jesus will give you the straight understanding from the Word of God if you'll hold fast to the head. You understand? There's the body of Christ, and there's the head of the body. It's all one, and He's the head. It all goes back to Jesus. I'm going to say it again. If you want to follow a ministry that doesn't believe Jesus is the head, that ministry's not worth the powder to blow it up. Hear me now, church. Hear me. There are a lot of ministries like that. That begin and end on themselves. Begin and end on your money. Or begin and end on whatever monument they want to rise up. But if it doesn't begin and end on Jesus, it's not worth following. Amen. It's not worth listening to. Right. If it's not about Jesus, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right. Okay? Someone turn to each other, give a high five and say, okay, that's settled. Jesus gives us focus. He gives us purpose, passion, priority. He shows us how to live. He loves us. And I want you to know, Jesus does not want you or me to live less than what He has for us. And that's what streams through the book of Colossians. Come on, you and I both know there are lots of times people do all sorts of things and then sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I can't be perfect anyway. We all know people that say, well, you know, can't be perfect. Jesus is just going to take us away from all this. Listen, our goal in life is to love Him, adore Him, be conformed to Him, and do as much as we can to be what He wants us to be here in this place. Right? You go, I can't be perfect in this life. Well, keep trying. By grace. By grace. He holds us responsible to keep living. Now, you know, some of you have seen these before. Some of you use them a lot more than I do. What is this? Ah, but not just a screwdriver. What is it? It's a magnetic screwdriver. Built for people like me. Why is there a magnet on the end of this guy? Because upon occasion, Kevin might just be a bit of a doofus. And if it drops. I think I bought it. If it drops or gets out of the way, I know you can't see this, but... You know, you can reach down in that hard-to-reach spot and snap it on. Magnets, you know, you remember playing with a magnet when you were a little kid? And if you had it on the wrong side, what would it do? Yeah, what's that word? It would repel. But if you align it right, what does it do? Attracts and snaps into place. It adheres and it holds. And God is asking us by grace through the blood of Jesus to make sure we're aligned right. And then He holds us tight in the palm of His hands And we get to be a very effective tool in the hand of Jesus.
Yes,
how many like being a tool in the hand of Jesus? Yeah. Amen. So I'm usable then if I'm aligned right. If I line up with God by His grace, then I can be a vessel in His hand. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Because God has a purpose, and I'm going to go through a few verses this morning. We'll probably be in this book over the next several weeks. God's purpose, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 is the first section of Scripture I'll use. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and ask that you may be a whole list of things." And the apostle's heart is carefully expressed. We're praying for you that these things will happen. Number one, that you be filled with the knowledge of His will. Please read that with me. Filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, in the Greek language, the Greek word is pleroo. Say it with me, can you? Play ro'o. What are you going to play today? We're going to play ro'o, okay? It means crammed, jammed, full and furnished. What are you filled with? You're crammed, jammed, full and furnished with Jesus. When you gave your life to the Lord, how much of Him did you get? Did you get just a little Jesus over in the corner of your heart? He slammed and crammed as much of Himself into you as He can fit. That's what the Bible says. That you're filled with the knowledge of His will. And that means He's crammed and jammed you full and furnished you so you can fully discern His purpose, His judgment, His thoughts, His heart, His perspective. When you surrender to Jesus, He gives you Himself and He changes our beliefs. Number two. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And literally in the Greek, that means that you may deport yourself appropriately, that you may walk like Jesus walks. Can I say an honest show of hands? I really want you to raise your hands if this applies to you. Has anybody in this hand, good. Anybody in this room ever done something you shouldn't do? Okay. Aren't you glad for forgiveness and mercy? But now that you've given your life to the Lord, if you ever do something you shouldn't do, or don't do something you should do, isn't there something inside your heart, it's called the Holy Spirit, that comes with conviction and says, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that way. I should have, you know. Isn't there a conviction that comes? Because Jesus is at work inside. And the Holy Spirit is the one saying, you didn't deport yourself just like Jesus in that scenario. You need to walk worthy of the Lord, Kev. You need to step up higher. Come receive my mercy, my grace. I forgive you as you repent. Let's step up higher. And he says, number three, be fully pleasing to Him. Fully pleasing. How many believe you can be fully pleasing to God? That's what the Bible says. Number four, being fruitful in every good work. That literally means having your life be fertile ground. Bringing forth life to feed others. Bearing the fruit of Jesus. Number five, increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that what we do every time we gather? We try to increase in our understanding, knowing of Him. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Literally in the Greek, it means growing and recognizing and in discerning Him. How do you know if something is right or wrong? By knowing Jesus. By knowing His Word. By walking with Him, you get to learn His voice, His word. And when you're walking down the road and something comes along that's not of Jesus, what happens inside? You go, that's not right. I may not know exactly why that's not right, but that just plain isn't right. You know what I mean? So you get that thing inside. And then he says, number six, strengthened. You be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience, long suffering with joy. And that literally in the Greek means to be enabled and empowered by the force of his spirit to live with victory and joy. Victory and joy. Name your kids that. Then you always live with victory and joy. Name your little doggies that. Hey, come here, victory and joy. We've got it in our life. But victory and joy, strengthened with might. And then he says, number seven, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Means literally full of thanks and expressing it. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. How do you have redemption? Through his blood. And what do you have? Forgiveness of sins. He has called us literally to this vibrant, life-giving, incredibly alive, this great walk with him. Not just in the life to come. That's going to be wonderful. Anybody looking forward to heaven? Sure. Sure, we should all be looking forward to heaven. But we are doing our part to bring heaven on earth today. And this is great life he wants us to live. We're to shine and radiate him. To know that we're forgiven and thank God that he's forgiven us. And don't let anybody steal that away. That's what Paul's saying in the book of Colossians. If you see Jesus not as divine, if you don't understand he's the Son of God, if you don't know that he's forgiven you, then you lose out this entire life that he's called you to live. False teachers trying to say Jesus wasn't enough. Jesus wasn't good enough, not sufficient. Jesus wasn't everything. You've got to add your rules. You've got to come to the light. But Paul is snapping back. Paul is snapping back their focus to Jesus and who he is, what he's done, that he's complete. What you believe determines how you live. If I walk around all the time saying I just don't have what I need, then I have a faulty belief that I need to let my life catch up to the truth of the Word of God. Yes. Lord, I believe you're enough. Lord, I believe you've provided for me. Now, we might need prayer from each other. Say, you know, Royal, I'm kind of shy in what I need to be believing here today. Would you pray for me? And it's not, Lord, help me believe. Lord, I choose to believe. Yeah. I believe your word. I believe it is what you've said. But we strengthen one another in that. That's what the body of Christ does for each other. All right. Really crucial as we come to our last hour and a half of this message, really crucial is hold fast the head. Hold fast the head. Say it with me. Hold fast the head. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 10. I'll read verse 6 here to begin with. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now watch what this means. Number one, don't be cheated out of Jesus. Say it with me. Don't be cheated out of Jesus. Here's the warning. Verse 8. The warning. Beware lest anyone cheat you through what? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Who's got the answer for life and living? Jesus does. That's right. So there's your warning. Don't be cheated out of Jesus. What's the answer? Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are, say it with me, I want you to boom it out, church. And you are complete in him. Say it again. And you are complete. One more time. And you are complete in him who's the head of all principalities and power. Don't be cheated out of your walk with Jesus, your belief in him, and his provision to you. He's given you so much. Don't let it be stolen away by the devil. In the Greek, it literally means don't be spoiled. Don't let it spoil you. Don't let the devil or these false teachers take you captive. Don't let them capture you. Don't let them dazzle you. Ever been dazzled by what glitters? How many like Ferraris? Lamborghinis? How many like great yachts? but whatever it might be, some things dazzle sometimes, and they capture our attention.
Diamonds,
okay. But they're not that which gives us life. Have you ever made a big purchase, and then after you've done it, it's all said and done, you go, You know, they call that, what do they call that? How many know what that's called?
Consumer lust,
yeah. Buyer's, what is it?
Remorse.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
You know, that can happen. That happens in sometimes big ticket items, and salespeople have to come along and prop you up. Oh, you made a great purchase. I don't know. Maybe I should. Oh, no, you made a great purchase. You know, it's one of those things. You go, it's just not everything I thought it was going to be. Because if you looked to it to do more for you than it can, it's not going to have all your answers. Because Jesus is the only one who can. Come on, isn't it true? Sometimes you let each other down. Come on, isn't it true? What are you doing that for? No kidding. But isn't it true? Sometimes we fail. Sometimes the new thing you bought breaks. You ever bought something, a wonderful new something, and you broke it when you got it home? Or broke it, putting it together for the kids? It's a thing. But Jesus doesn't break. Jesus is the answer. Same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. Anyone who gives you less than Jesus as everything is wrong. He's all you need. He's everything you need. We give Him to each other. We receive Him from Himself and in the body of Christ and in the Word of God. All of those things. Jesus is the answer. He's it. If somebody tries to give you something and cheap you out of something, maybe you had something of value, you didn't realize the value, you sell it, and then you find out later the value, and they give you, oh, it's not worth anything, and walk away with what you now gave away for pennies on the dollar. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Cheated! When the Super Bowl is won by somebody who deflates football. Ooh, cheated! Just had to let you know I'm still alive. No, we cheated ourselves on that one. All right, who cares? Don't be cheated out of your walk with Jesus. Don't let anybody cheat you out of the full deal with Him. All right, number two, don't let anybody defraud you of your full reward of Jesus. Don't be cheated out. Don't be defrauded out. Defrauded is misrepresented. Cheated is they don't give you the full deal, and defrauding is misrepresenting. Colossians 2, 18 and 19. Let no one, and in the New King James, by the way, King James says defraud, and it changes it to the word cheat in the New King James. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Frankly, actually, it says spoil you, and the earliest New King James Version said defraud. The brand new King James Version says cheat. But they're all saying the same thing. Don't let anybody cheat you of your reward. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things. I'll explain this verse in a moment. Actually, the next version will. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head. Not holding fast to the head. From whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Watch it out of the New Living and it'll explain the verse. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels. In other words, you have to do this. Saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. They're not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. Don't let anyone or any philosophy steal away the full provision of Jesus. Not any teacher, not any minister, not any movement. At all times, would you raise your hands with me just like this? I want you to hold up your hands. Now look up. At all times, church, hold fast the head. Hold fast the head, and I want you to see Jesus. He's everything. If you need to realign, realign. It's subtle sometimes how it happens. You need to get back on track, get back on track. If you've never been on track, come get on track. But what I'm here to tell you about this morning, who I'm here to tell you about, it's pretty simple. It's pretty straight. It's Jesus. I don't care if it's not complex. I don't care if you want a lot more complex preaching this morning. I didn't bring that. What I came to tell you about is Jesus. What I came to help you fall in love with is Jesus. Just like little babies fall in love with their mamas and daddies, fall in love with Jesus again. If you put some distance between you and Jesus, repent of that this morning. If you're just walking as a religion, it's a lot more than that. Jesus knows you right to your core, and he loves you, and he did all this for you. Don't be cheated out of it. Don't be defrauded out of him. He's everything. He's everything. Come on, say it with me. He's everything. Come on. Come on up front. If you're saying in your life, right along with me this morning, you want to walk closer to Jesus and make sure he's your everything, get out of your chair. Come on forward. Come on up. Roxanne, if you could start that song from the very beginning and just put it on softly. Remember, if you have, thank you, if you have a prayer request that, George, if you and Harriet would be so kind as to help us this morning and just join over there at the chairs afterwards and pray for people. If you have a physical need, there'll be people over here. George and Harriet will be over there to pray for you. If others from the congregation want to go over and pray for people, you're welcome to do that as well. Come on up front. Make room right up here at the altar areas where that song plays. And what you're doing as you're coming up front here this morning, you're saying right along with me, Kevin, you know, I know life is not fully satisfying because Jesus is the only one who can truly satisfy. I know I'm not fully where I should be. I need to be more like him. I need to hear from him better. I need to walk with him better, but I can't do this in my own strength. So by your taking steps to come forward this morning, you're saying, Jesus, it's all about you. I want to grow in you, and I know I can grow more. So taking the initiative and the steps to come forward this morning, Jesus sees you, he knows you, he knows what you're experiencing. And look around you, church, every one of us is in the same boat. We all need him more, don't we? Join hands. Father, we thank you for this time together. And every one of us has responded here this morning because, Jesus, we know how much we need you. Lord, as we go from this place this day, I pray that in every one of our lives, you'll dig out our ears and that there'll be specific opportunity to see you and hear from you better this week than we've ever had before. Lord, fresh growth in each of our lives, better than we've ever had before. Wash us clean by the blood. We repent of every distraction that turns us away. We all have activities, but sometimes we allow the distraction to be more important than you. We repent of that. Lord, we go with this place, from this place today with joy, love and kindness and grace. Thank you for your love to us in Jesus' name. Now let's just sing along with a thanksgiving this day for being so good to us. We've come to see you and we love you for your grace and mercy to us. Now we go forth from this place with joy and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Raise your hands for the blessing, will you? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need further prayer, George and Harry, it'll be over there. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.